This verse came to me here in Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Our boast is in the Lord. Amen. Our glory is in the Lord this morning, and declare Him victor over all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4 for just a moment. And it's interesting that a number of the utterances went along these lines this morning. As we've been looking in and talking about our life in the Holy Spirit, what it means to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Amen. And we'll talk about character some as we continue on in the study on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit as we go on. And those two things work together, and of course are much of that great manifestation of the Spirit being alive in us, of what it means to truly live and walk in the Holy Ghost. And we've been talking also about these areas of being full of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, dealing with the aspects of Him filling us with power and authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said it prior to the baptism. He said, I will give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. But He said then on that day of Pentecost, He said, go and tarry and wait for the promise. For you will receive power, Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. And we've been seeing that witnessing is not just evangelism, but it's a witnessing of the fact that we are the light of the world. And we are the salt of the earth, praise God. Us walking distinct from this world system, that people would look at us and we're so full of the Holy Ghost that they know we're not citizens of this planet, praise God. Amen? And they took note that they had been with Jesus. Don't you want that to be a testimony of your life? That guy hangs out with Jesus. He's different than everybody else I know. It could have a visible, physical manifestation as it did with Moses. When Moses encountered God on the mountain and he came down and his face just shone with the glory of God. Don't you want that to be your countenance? I've had it happen on a few occasions, and I'm sure many of you have, but I've had people come approach me and go, who are you? There's something different. What's different about you? At times when you're just so lost in the Spirit of God and able to then share at that time the life of the Holy Ghost in you. What happens when you become that new creation and old things pass away and all things become new? Our witnessing is in our regeneration, that we're new creatures, praise God, that we're seen as different. People have noticed that we hang with Jesus. Whether it's your employer who knows that he can trust you, that you're not like everybody else, you're not late all the time, you're not spending the company's money on yourself, you're not lying and cheating and all of these other things that cause you to be raised up just as Joseph was, as a servant of God. The three Hebrew children being great witnesses in that they didn't have to go to the world and ask, you know, for favors and didn't have to try to wheel and deal to get advancement. But it was brought before the king that there's people here that have the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God, whether it's their three Hebrew children, whether it's a Daniel or whether it's a Joseph. We stand out in the world. Amen. We stand out, and we're our wisdom when we speak at work or in the neighborhood or whatever, we're 10 times wiser than anything the world can produce. Witnesses unto me. So it's more than just preaching the gospel. It's being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's being saturated with the glory of the Lord, as we just read. Glory in this. That you know my presence, that you have communion with me as we avail ourselves of that bold access into the Holy of Holies. Aren't you thankful for that? Purchased by the blood of Jesus. You can come into God's presence anytime you want. And just get filled and refilled. And refilled and resaturated and shine brighter, praise God. Is that your hunger? I just want to be like you, Jesus. I have one fear. Yes, Lord, I failed. Yes, I've sinned. And man, what a magnitude of sin that was. Adultery, murder. But David ran back to the Lord. And cried out with all of his heart. Thank God when that conviction of the Holy Ghost comes on us. Amen. As we finally approach that deliverance, when that conviction of the Holy Ghost comes on and says, do you really want to go on living without me? You want to take your life back? You want to saturate yourself with the pleasures of this life instead of my presence? What a fear that should strike in our hearts. Amen? Amen. And the psalmist cried out, David cried out in that 51st Psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. As we study the person of the Holy Spirit, how precious is he to you? We know doctrinally that the Holy Spirit is divine, that he's fully God. But really, in many people's lives, we treat him like he's third in the Godhead. He is co-equal. He is very God. Absolutely, totally God. And all that exists, he co-authored and created. And he, as that member of the Godhead that empowered Jesus in his earthly ministry, came as the promise from the Father to abide in each one of us as he did in Jesus. And Jesus said, because I send you the promise from the Father, the things that I did shall you do, and greater things than these shall you do, praise God. Are we believing that really? Is that becoming part of your daily thought process as we spend time studying here? Now stop and think with me for just a moment. What Jesus did, you can do because the Holy Ghost is in you. Well, let's get with it. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the first things we said we need to look to happen in our lives is this. We want to be filled with God's power, but let's remember faith, which is the conveyor of the power of God, worketh by love. And so we're asking that God's love would continue to grow in our lives. A love for the brethren, a love for the lost. And so this last little bit of review for this morning, and the fact that then we're to walk as Jesus walked, that same Holy Ghost in us. So when we're walking into the highways and byways, the one thing that must be there, beloved, and if it's not, get on your face and cry out to God. But the thing that must be there is a compassion for the lost. Where is that compassion? Does it move us to fall on our faces? Can we throw aside a little bit of our recreation and our family time and our little plans? Can we set that into proper perspective and get alone and pray for lost souls and ask that Jesus' love and compassion would flow through us by that same indwelling Holy Spirit? Oh, help us, Lord, to know that fullness in our lives. And so we've been talking about that aspect of the indwelling, receiving power to become those witnesses. We saw in Luke chapter 4 here that Jesus then, verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We're going to talk this morning a little bit about that leading of the Holy Spirit. We don't really like the fact that the Holy Spirit will at times lead us into adversity, as the utterance was this morning, instead of prosperity. Amen or oh me. How about the fact that the Holy Spirit will allow some of these diseases to come upon us? God has to allow it. Theology has trouble comprehending this, but God is the ultimate authority in all creation. Amen?
Amen.
And everything is subject to Him. Now, I'm not going to get into the theological debates, because frankly, the carnal mind cannot comprehend the eternal wisdom and mind of God. And the things that we see through a glass darkly. What we do know is this, that whatever the adversities that might come and how they might come, like in the life of Job, you know, that still goes on today. The devil goes up there and stands in the presence of God. God says, "What do you think about my servant Jeff?" And the devil's answer is the same about every one of God's servants. My servant Joe. My servant Bill. Whoever it might be. What do you think about them? I'm pretty proud of them. They're my boys. They're my boys. Accuser of the brethren, but they messed up the other day. No record of it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Been blotted out. Yeah, they First Johned it right out of there, man. Hit that baby out of the park. 1 John, confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from. Hallelujah. We're clean this morning. Amen. What do you think about my boys? They serve you for naught. We know the story. Let me just put some hard times in their life and they'll curse you. Nah, hallelujah. Though he slay me, hallelujah, I'm going to bless him. Devil just wants you to look at the first part of Job. We got the whole book. We know how it ends. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We know the deliverance. We know the abundance and the wisdom of God that manifested itself. Yes, the Lord will lead us into temptations. Now our prayer is, lead me not into temptation. Amen. Amen. Believe for that. Lord, preserve us. Don't lead us. Don't. Basically what's being said there by the Holy Ghost is this. Live a life and walk purely before me and walk in humility and obedience so that I don't have to allow this purging in your life. You see, Job's purging was not just the spin of a roulette wheel. There was something in Job that needed to be exposed, wasn't there? He justified himself and not the Lord. That had to be exposed so God could deliver him. You don't get that kind of stuff exposed without severe pressure. Because see, we can't see it in ourselves without severe pressure. We just see ourselves a little better than we are all the time, don't we? And so God will squeeze this stuff out of us. The steps of the good man, Psalms 37 says, are ordered of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And what do? We delight in his way. We boast in his way. There may be adversity now, but it's working in me, praise God, a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yeah, the Holy Ghost doesn't always just lead us into party time. But I want to tell you something. He always leads us into truth. Isn't that what John 16 says? He leads us into truth, praise God. He leads us into seeing the truth about ourselves. He leads us into the truth of the eternal perspective of the kingdom of God. And let me say it another way, as we've said it many times before. It's not about you. Amen. What? And so as the Holy Spirit's ordering our lives, don't think it strange concerning these fiery trials. Don't ask, where are you, Holy Spirit? He is leading your life today. Jesus sent him to be your guide. And we're going to look at some practical aspects of that in the book of Acts this morning that are, it's just fun to look at. What a spirit-filled man's daily life should be like. And we're living so far below because we're not conscious of his presence. We don't really give place to the Holy Spirit in our lives throughout the day. We're not listening. We're not listening. As we look over at the gifts of the Spirit somewhere in this study, the Apostle Paul spoke and said, listen, we don't serve dumb idols. Amen? Amen. Those gods that were made by men's hands. We don't serve dumb idols. Our God is alive and he speaks. Amen. Are we listening? Or is our path already so mapped out and we already know what we're doing? I already know what I'm doing. Let me tell you something. If you know what you're doing, you're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. If your mind's made up what direction you're going, you're not going to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit like you need to. Oh, I'm not saying that we can't have a course. I'm saying that we have to be amendable. We have to enter with an understanding that God might have a better course. You know, like the GPS? You know, we got this app called Waze. And that thing will speak up sometimes and I'll argue with it. I'll say, that can't be right. Does anybody else argue with your GPS besides me? Okay, there's a couple of other hard heads in here. That can't be right. And that stupid thing keeps justifying itself by being right. God says, this is the ways, right? Walk in it, praise God. Walk in it. Listen to me. You don't know better. You don't know what I've got planned for you tomorrow. You don't know who I have to get you in their presence today, and I have to take you off course to do it. But I've already spoken to a man and told him that you were in prayer and that you were going to come and lay hands on him and that you would restore his sight and you would show him how great a things he would suffer for my name's sake. Don't you want to be that agent? How many of you would have loved to have been that agent? To be able to go lay hands on the Apostle Paul and pray for him and then never be heard of again. I'd rather be Paul. I want to be famous. How about being available? Amen. Amen. And I would say he's famous for generations to today. It's still recorded. Amen. Just want to be used. But you know, to our knowledge, that's the one and only big time he was used. I'm sure God was able to use him at other times, but we don't have any record of it. Look what God will do to take us out of our comfort zone, to move us miraculously into his course to affect a life that could reach untold. It kind of reminds me, I just got a call yesterday from David Grant. And, hello, Brother Scott, how you doing? Praise God. How many of you know David? Yeah, if you don't know David, dear God. And that's how he talks at home all the time. There's not put on, that's him. And he is one of a kind. But anyway, to get back to the story, he called and we just sent him a message that we were going to be in India. We don't know that yet. Haven't received our visa, but it's still a week. So there's a week, and told him that we would be in India. And he said, oh, praise God. He said, you know, how many of you remember David was arrested? He got arrested over there, put in prison. Dave has for 50 years never gone on a mission visa to India. Now they did have freedom of religion, supposedly, in that country. But it was still very touchy. and very strict rules if you were caught proselytizing. But long story short, he got arrested. He was put in prison. And he's only been back about three times since his arrest. Now, he's the head of all of Asia and Europe for the Assemblies of God missionaries. And they've been doing a lot of work in Europe, and they're doing a lot of work now with that new ministry they have.
Project Rescue,
dealing with all of the young girls who are being put into human trafficking and sex slaves, and they've got a ministry worldwide for that, and they're reaching many, many lives and great life transformation for many of these young people who have been abused and seeing their lives healed and put back together. Just great, miraculous testimonies. But they're working a lot in that right now. And so that's kept him some out of India. And he said, well, I haven't been there for a while. And he said, you know, my daughter's still there full time. His daughter and son-in-law are missionaries full time in India. And he said, but I'm going back, and he's going to be there the same 2 weeks we're going to be there. Now, isn't that amazing? After I haven't been there for 19 years, he's only been back three times in the last 5 years. And it appears as though we're going to be there the same 2 weeks. So he was pumped. So he said, let me call Mohan. He said, can you go preach for Mohan? How many of you remember Mohan? Many of you gave money for years and years and years. We put Mohan through Bible school. We are the primary supporter of this young man through his Bible college and starting his church. And he said, you know, Mohan, he said, the church is still growing. I said, praise God. He said, they got 50,000 members now. I think we'd had a good investment. Amen. Isn't it funny how God does stuff like that? Little church in Sterling gets a vision, puts up money to help this guy go into the ministry. See, it's not always us that do it physically. The things that are behind the scenes that God's pulling strings. The wisdom of God, amen? Do you understand that all of those offerings you gave over all those years, and none of us do it for this reason, but I'm trying to paint a picture. Do you understand that in the providence of God, in the economy of God, do you understand that those things are written in books? All I'm saying is, do you know that that's just 50,000 in his home church? That's not the many churches they've started. He's also he's vice chairman of the World Pentecostal Organization. America has, in the Assemblies of God, 3 million Pentecostal Assemblies of God people in America. Worldwide, there's 62 million. Great revivals in South America. Millions and millions and millions of Pentecostals in Russia and China. Hallelujah. He's the vice chairman of that organization around the world, which is, it's not only the Assemblies of God, but every Pentecostal organization. And you've been a little part of that. Not a little. You've been a primary part of his life in the early years. Thank God. Thank God for your faithfulness. Thank God for your prayers. I could give you a couple more stories of many of these missionaries. We might want to do that sometime. I don't think that we here have a clue of what Father has done through your faithfulness in these outreaches. And so we thank God for what He does, and we thank God for the insignificant ourselves being faithful so that God could take a Mohan and use him for his glory and power. Amen?
Amen.
And you're just as much a part of it as he is in the eyes of God. That's how it works. He sees us all equal. How cool is that? But however God wants to use you, and whether you're an Ananias or you're a Peter, God has a plan for our lives. And He's orchestrating every step that has brought us to where we are today. The good times and the bad. The victories and the failures. You know, we learn more from our failures than we do from our victories. Amen?
Amen.
Can you see the Lord? Can you see the wisdom of the Holy Ghost having led you to some of your trials that ended up in failure? Now, God doesn't make you fail. Don't think that. But God does order our steps into these tests. Count it all joy when the Holy Ghost leads you into temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of our faith works patience. Amen? And so God's doing great things in our lives. And so he was led into the wilderness. And we know the victorious results that he had because he stood upon the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written, praise God. And you know, if you keep quoting, it is written. It is written. I like what the scripture says. And it says, and the devil left him for a season. Just quote the word of God and send him down the road. Amen?
Amen.
Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You don't resist the devil by saying, I resist you, devil. You resist the devil by quoting the word of God.
Amen.
By saying what God said about your situation. And so Jesus then being victorious through the word of God. And it says then in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And there went out a fame of him, verse 14, through all the regions thereabout. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And so we see then this leading of the Holy Spirit. He led him into the temptation. He caused him to be victorious in the temptation through the bringing of scripture to his mind. Now see, we find it hard to believe this, but stop and think with me for just a moment. The word had to have the word brought to him by the Holy Ghost to resist the devil. That's interesting, isn't it? The word, Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Jesus did not draw upon any of his divine attributes. He was totally dependent on the Holy Ghost. He lived as a man just like you and I. He was the God-man for the purpose of redemption. There had to be that divinity and that perfection within him to bring about redemption. But his daily life was lived fully as a man under the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit will bring you the word in every situation, at every stoplight, at every decision. You want to go out and goof off? Before you say, yeah, let's go, why don't you pause just a moment and go, Lord, what would you have me to do? Amen? We're not talking about asceticism and stopping every other temporal, secular type activity. We're not talking about asceticism. You can't set your course toward asceticism any more than you would toward self-righteousness and acts and having confidence in our works. Self is not to guide or choose either one. God is to choose for us. And so when you have these opportunities, discipline yourself. Learn for a moment to respond and go, wait a minute. I want to check and see what the Lord has to say about this. And especially when it's brothers and sisters, you know how that'll help them go, wow, man, maybe I ought to pray about something. Doesn't it help provoke us to love and good works? By watching someone that's walking in obedience, in full pursuit of the kingdom. And so our confidence this morning is that we're being led of the Lord, praise God. God is ordering our steps. Little incidents throughout the scriptures. Go to the book of Acts for just a moment And you know, as we look at the book of Acts, I mean, it's just every day these guys are just walking in the Holy Ghost. Walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the scripture says. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans says, they are the sons of God. You can't just take off and run through this life. We got to be led. And so through the scriptures, we see the many different ways that God leads us. And so we see it starting with Jesus telling them his commandment to go to Jerusalem. They did that. They tarried. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They preached the gospel with power. Absolutely, that men were moved by the power of the Holy Ghost. They cried out, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the promise of the Father. They had 3,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost. What a tremendous outpouring. Amen?
Amen.
And we see then that as the Spirit was leading them and they're bold and proclaiming the gospel. And we see this great revival, 3,000 being saved. The next day they head toward the temple, and we know the healing then of the lame man. A truth here that it helps us to remember. They went as their occasion was. They went to the temple every day. Why did they stop today? I wonder how many times they passed that lame man. Why did they stop today? Because the Holy Ghost said, this is his day, praise God. Amen? How tragic it would be for us to be so caught up in getting down to Starbucks so that I could hurry back to whatever else I'm doing, that we miss an opportunity of somebody whose day it is, praise God. We're just talking about practically. Practically, here was their routine. Here was their routine. Now as they're going through the temple, all of a sudden their eyes lock. And verse 4 of chapter 3 says, Peter says, look on us. And he looked expecting to receive some money. And Peter's response, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Such as I have. More precious than silver and gold. Such as I have in the name of Jesus. Beloved, we have the name of Jesus at our disposal through the unction of the Holy Ghost, and it will cause the lame to walk and the blind to see if we'll just yield to it. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. A day in the life of a man full of the Holy Ghost. A day in the life of a man walking in the Spirit. And so here he is, and we see then this great miracle that's done, and he leaps and jumps and praises God, verse 8 says. What a tremendous work. And then all of a sudden we see the crowds gather around, and Peter responds and says, why are you looking on us so earnestly, verse 12, as though by our own power or our own holiness we've made this man to walk? You need to understand something. This Jesus whom you've crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, it's his name and faith in his name that's raised him up. That's chapter 4, verse 10. So what do we learn here? Why are you looking on us as though by our own power or our own righteousness? Can we ever get good enough? Is there anything that's based upon our merit that then initiates God's power working through us? No. Now, I would say at this time, and how many of your lives have attended, go like this kind of? Anybody? Anybody on one of these? Haven't met them yet. Peter's having one of his good days, isn't he? You know, it wasn't just a few days earlier that he said, I don't know the man. God can use you right away after you mess up. You're not put on probation. Amen? You can mess up today and cast out a devil tomorrow. Praise God. If we allow the fullness of the Holy Ghost to work in us. Because the Holy Ghost will convict us of sin and we will repent according to verse 9 and God will restore us. Praise God. And the power of God will work through us. So it doesn't have anything to do with how you feel, how good you're doing. Don't look on us as though by our own power or holiness, he says in verse 12. It's his name through faith in his name that's made this man strong. And then they preach this message of repentance in verse 19, and your sins will be blotted out and the time of refreshing will come from the Lord. That time of refreshing is the person, the breath of God, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. When you take time to hang out with the Holy Ghost, you get refreshed. We think going on vacation gets us refreshed. If you vacation with me, you don't get refreshed. You get tired. I rested one time on a vacation and it was good. I enjoyed it. We were going to go do it again this year and it got blown away, but that time of refreshing. This is the refreshing, the scripture says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we see then that the Spirit of God using these men and they're walking and seeing that great power. And then comes this first persecution upon the church. The Holy Ghost leading us, but now we're being persecuted. We've seen miracles. We've preached the gospel. Now the persecution comes. By what power, by what name have you done this? Verse 7. Verse 10, we quoted already. It's the name of Jesus. There's not, verse 12, salvation in any other name under heaven. And when they saw the boldness, verse 13, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Seeing the power and the boldness with which they spoke. Remember, we're talking about walking in the Spirit. This is just a couple of days of walking in the Spirit. We got miracles. We've got persecution going. We've got this a great ability to preach the gospel in power and authority. It's just normal. And because of the man standing with them, it goes on to say, they couldn't say anything. Verse 16, for a notable miracle has been done and we cannot deny it. Don't you like that part of it? They go on in a moment to say, hey, listen, you can do whatever you want, but we cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. We've seen some great answers to prayer here in our fellowship in this last year. I mean, true miracles. Go tell people. Say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life, and let me tell you what he's doing in our fellowship, and let me tell you about this great work that happened to a friend of mine. And are there any needs in your life? What do you need? God's alive today. He'll answer prayer, praise God. Why don't you come and let us pray as a fellowship for you? And the word begins to spread. The fame of Jesus began to spread. And people knew where they could go to receive the power of God, the presence of God, the healing virtue of God. We need to make it known that God's in this place. Go tell somebody, praise God. As Mike had invited a couple here the other night that were here for prayer and believe in God for the miracle in their lives. But the one thing is sure, man, that they could not deny that a notable miracle has been done. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They were commanded to no longer preach in this name, and of course we know the response. As we go through, and I don't want to go this much line item, I wanted to take bigger chunks, but what I'm trying to show us this morning is this, that in these lives, it was very normal for divine intervention. We're going to see as we continue on here that God guides our lives in many different ways. One of the ways that God was directing the church, we find in the next chapter that when great persecution came upon them, they were dispersed throughout the regions. You see, in our minds a lot of times, we would like to think that it always happens like it does at Antioch. And they got together and they prayed and fasted and the Holy Ghost said, send out. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But you see, God uses persecution just as much as he does intercession to get his people where he wants them to be. I'm in limbo right now. I have no idea what God's going to do this next week, whether I'm supposed to stay here, go to India, what I'm supposed to do. The Lord knows. Amen. They had already told us, can't be done. Then they tell us, you'll know in 5 to 7 days. That was last Monday. Was the 7th day. Now we're, all that week's gone. And we're coming into this Monday. And we're leaving the following Tuesday. So who knows what God's got? And you know, I don't care either way. I did initially care. I didn't want to go. I had to put into practice the same practice that we've shared with you on many occasions to the wives and to many of you that are part of the fellowship. I had to work myself from that place of having an opinion to true submission. And I got there last week, or whenever it was, to where I could truly say, I'm not just going to go because I have to go. I now take this on as my vision. I see it as what's good. I take the vision on. I'm beginning to visualize the results and what God can do. And I'm ready, praise God. And just as I got really ready, then it stopped. So here we are, knowing that the Holy Spirit will direct our path. And so whichever direction we go, it's God. And take it, praise God. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and we delight in His ways. Amen?
Amen.
And so as the Lord is speaking here, and we're seeing how He's moving mightily among the people, the persecution came, the refilling came later on in that chapter, and they were all refilled with the Holy Spirit. The place was shaken, and with great power they gave witness of the resurrection of God, and great grace was upon them, the scripture says. The church is being brought together, and then in their midst, at this point, Ananias and Sapphira are revealed. I believe that we're at a place in our fellowship here where the Ananiases and Sapphiras will be revealed in our midst. And I don't mean necessarily that people are going to fall over dead in service, but that's fine too. But what I'm saying is, we've got to be of one heart and one mind. We've got to be of one accord. If God is going to fulfill this vision in our midst, we've got to all have the same vision. We all have to have the same commitment to it. And even if we don't have the same commitment to it, at least make that known and don't try to lie and hide it. Because Satan moves in darkness. Amen? And we're children of light. Now it's very interesting that what it was that was causing Ananias and Sapphira problems was not doctrinal. They were just being asked to give equally of their time and their resources. And they said they were, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. So we see these two great truths. One is there has to be unity, and there has to be purity for God to come and truly move among us. And after these guys then were purged out of the fellowship, verse 14 says, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, praise God. Amen? Amen. We got to be cleaned up. We got to be in one accord. We've talked about it the last number of weeks. The strife, the judgmental spirit, the criticisms. All of this stuff has got to be dealt with if we're going to see the Holy Ghost move. And then in the midst of this environment, we see then that people begin to be added, and they even brought more sick people. They laid them in the streets so that even if Peter's shadow fell on them, they'd be healed. How cool is that? We're talking about life in the Spirit. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. As we end for this morning, can I ask you the question? Why shouldn't this be one of us? Is God a respecter of persons? Is it the same Holy Ghost that we're filled with? Up to this point in the history of the church, can we say that we are allowing the Holy Ghost to move through us as He did the early church? We've just read what a few weeks in the life of a Spirit-filled man are. Are we committed to this in our own lives? See the progressiveness of the visitation and the power of God? After that place was shaken where they were gathered, they spoke the word with more boldness. The Holy Ghost came in and struck Ananias and Sapphira dead right in their midst. It said of the people that had that same kind of a spirit, that they didn't gather with them anymore, but the Lord added to the church. Isn't it interesting how God has to subtract sometimes before He can add? And so we realize that there's this move of the Holy Spirit and Peter's shadow falling upon people, and they're being healed. And they brought sick folks, verse 16 says, and those that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed them, everyone. Just normal. Expected. It's the signs that follow Christians. What are we believing God for? How taken up are we with our nation's economy and our politics and all of the news media's nonsense and this little yellow friend in Korea? And if you never saw the Pink Panther, you won't know that phrase, my little yellow friend. How caught up are we? Are we so involved and overshadowed by the cares of this life, that this type of a lifestyle we've just read doesn't even enter into our thinking? Does this seem so abnormal? Does it seem unattainable? It's normal. It follows them that believe. Amen? Dear God, help our unbelief. But let's not settle for anything less than what God says belongs to us as His church. Let's believe the Holy Spirit to start moving in our midst. We'll go on possibly tonight to look at more of the direction of the Holy Spirit and some of these aspects. But as we saw this morning, just the belief that God will show Himself in our midst. He'll show Himself at the temple. He'll show Himself in the prayer meeting following the persecution. He'll show Himself in our local fellowship and purge out that's lies and darkness in our midst. He adds to the church such as be saved. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Are your eyes opened? Can you see people streaming out of these houses and from across the street in the apartments and whatever, and coming into this place and finding Jesus as their personal Savior, seeing sin's power broken in their lives? Can you see them coming from Sugarland Run and making their way to this light that's on a hill? Can you see it? Praise God. Can you see the power of God moving into Sterling Park to all of those Spanish gangs and seeing those people like Nicky Cruz of old born again and seeing young people regenerated and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost? What are we believing God for? Where is this revival, Lord? Rend the heavens and come down, praise God. Oh, Father, we ask You to move mightily in our midst. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to have Your way and order our steps. Let us be ever listening that we too could look upon these and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to You, praise God. Instead of being eaten up with anger for all of these illegals, why don't we just win them to Jesus, praise God. And if they get sent home, then at least they'll go as evangelists, hallelujah. Oh, help us, Father, to be touched with Your heart. Let us walk in Your power. Let us search our hearts as Ananias and Sapphira should have searched theirs and own up with who we really are. And let men see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It's our heart's desire and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, all things are possible to he that believeth. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.